maybe on Thursday, probably on Thursday, as you had your turkey and your cranberry sauce and your arroz con gandules, like we did at my house. We have a kind of an unusual Thanksgiving, but that's what we do. You got a chance to go around the table and share what you are thankful for. Any of you did that? I hope you did that. Was that hard? It's great that we take a holiday during the year to talk about gratitude and talk about how much we have to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for, right? And sometimes we just don't acknowledge it, or it's not at the forefront of our mind. It's a little bit of a shame that it takes a national holiday to get us to do it. What we want to talk about today is practicing gratitude, practicing Thanksgiving. Wouldn't it be great if the kind of thankfulness that we felt on Thursday when we were biting into that big turkey leg, or the kind of gratitude that we feel right now as we listen to everybody just share their prayers of thanks for how good God has been for them, wouldn't it be great if we could have that kind of gratitude all the time? Wouldn't it be great if we could be giving thanks continually in our hearts to God, even when it's difficult to give thanks? If you're like me, sometimes on Thanksgiving, you think, this year, maybe I don't want to be so thankful. You know, maybe this year I don't really feel like giving thanks. I'm going to wait till I get out of this jam. When God gets me out of this jam, then I'll give thanks then. But how can we give thanks even when we're in a jam, even when we're in the middle of all kinds of troubles? How can we give thanks all the time? That's what we're going to talk about today. So the text is Psalm 40, and we're going to look at these four things. First of all, the reason for Thanksgiving, the reason we have to give thanks. Number two, the attitude of Thanksgiving that we see in the Psalm. The attitude of gratitude. You like that? I didn't make that up. The attitude of Thanksgiving. Number three, the method of Thanksgiving. And number four, the time for Thanksgiving. So those four things we'll look at today. The reason for Thanksgiving, the attitude of Thanksgiving, the method of Thanksgiving, and the time for Thanksgiving. So let me read the Psalm. And I've got my Bible open to Isaiah, which is not right. Let me find Psalm 40. As you know, a psalm is a song, and this is a song that David wrote to give thanks to God. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies? Lord, my God, you have done many things. Your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a whole burnt offering or a sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. In the scroll it is written about me. I delight to do your will, my God, and your instruction is deep within me, or literally, your law is within my heart. Verse 9, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed. As you know, Lord, I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Lord, you do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and truth will always guard me, for troubles without number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my courage leaves me. Lord, be pleased to rescue me. Hurry to help me, Lord. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish me harm be turned back and humiliated. Let those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. I am oppressed and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper and my deliverer. My God, do not delay. This is God's word. First, let's talk about the reason for giving thanks to God, the reason for thanksgiving. We are not exactly sure of the situation that David was in when he wrote this psalm of thanksgiving. There are not a lot of details in the text about what happened that God, what did God do for him so that he had a reason to thank God. What we do see is that he said he felt like he was in a muddy bog. And I don't know if you've ever walked, I'm sure you have, walked through a muddy place and you're trying to get from point A to point B and you're just stuck and your feet are just all caked in mud and you feel like you're sinking and you're drowning as you go lower and lower into the water. David said he felt like that. He felt like he was in the bottom of a pit, that he was stuck in the mud, in the miry bog, and then the Lord got him out of it, and he put his feet on a rock, on a secure place, so that he had the ability to stand secure and stand firm and walk. We don't know if he's talking about maybe he was in a fight with the Philistines. You know, David was the warrior. He was always at war. The Philistines were always attacking him, and he was always attacking the Philistines. Not just the great giant Goliath, but other times too. Maybe he went to battle and God helped him have victory and he wrote this song, Psalm of Thanks. Maybe it was one of the times where he was in trouble with Saul. Remember, as a young man, David was a courtier in Saul's court. And Saul would sometimes go into like a fit of rage. He would like snap and grab his spears and start hurling them at David and try to pin him to the wall. So maybe David dodged one of Saul's spears and he wrote this Psalm of Thanks. Maybe it was later in his life when David committed the terrible evil sin when he had a man killed and stole his wife. And then God brought him to repentance and David was able to go and praise God after the sin that he had committed. Maybe it was that. Maybe he was thanking God for the forgiveness that God gave him. Maybe it was even later in his life when he had all kinds of family problems where his sons were fighting over the throne and even trying to kill each other. And David was under threat from enemies within his own kingdom when people were trying to figure out the order of succession and maybe take the throne from him. David had all kinds of troubles in his life. We don't know exactly what it was for this exact psalm, but God delivered him time and time again. And what's great is that it's a little bit ambiguous, and no matter what kind of trouble we're going through, we can relate to it and say, you know, God's delivered me too. I felt like my feet were stuck in the mud, and then God set me on a rock. We have reasons to give thanks too, don't we? We've got a lot of reasons to give thanks. We heard some of them today. Sometimes when you don't feel like giving thanks, the advice that you get goes something like this. It says, You know, you're always comparing yourself to people who have more than you. You know, you always look at your neighbor and you look at his driveway and you see that big, beautiful boat and you're kind of like, huh, you know, and then you don't feel like giving thanks because you don't have that big, beautiful boat. Or you look at the family that somebody that you know has and how everybody seems so peaceful. And everybody comes together and there's no fighting and there's no bickering and everybody gets along wonderfully and everybody wants to be there and you don't have to twist anybody's arm to come to Thanksgiving. And you're like, my family's not like that. And you don't feel like giving thanks. And so the advice that you get is don't look at the people that have more than you. Look at the people that have less than you. And when you compare yourself to the people that have less from you, you'll feel more gratitude. And like, you know, you might not have a car, but at least you have shoes. And there are people in the world who don't have shoes. And look at those people who don't have shoes. And then maybe you feel like giving thanks at that point. And, you know, that advice is pretty good, but it's not, like, so helpful. Because if you don't have a car and you need a car, you need a car, you know. And so it's not so helpful to hear, well, just look at the guy who doesn't have shoes and have thankfulness in your heart. There's a better piece of advice, I think, for giving thanks. And that's to actually look back in your life and look at the times that you called out to God where you were in a jam or you needed help and God actually came through for you, where you trusted in God and he actually did deliver, that God kept his promise and he got you out of it. I can remember a time in my life where I was really strapped financially, wasn't sure how I was going to handle the bills. And an envelope showed up in my mailbox with cash in it. And, you know, it was like, thank you, God. There was no name, you know. It's like, I had called out to God, and he miraculously, at least in my mind, I know he used somebody else to perform his miracle, but to me it was a miracle, and it was just, thank you, God, for answering my prayer. I don't know how anybody knew that I was in a jam, but you came through for me, Lord. You used somebody to help me. I remember being sick, maybe you've been like really ill and you've called out to God and he saw you through it, or at least gave you the strength to carry on while you were ill. Sometimes there's a relationship that has been severed and you call out for God to reconcile that relationship, and he actually comes through and brings people back together and you have a reason to give thanks. Sometimes you're in despair, you're in deep despair, and God brings a friend to comfort you, and you can give thanks to God for that. There are a lot of reasons that we have to give thanks to God. He's come through for us in so many ways, in so many different times. Just, we can, if we look back at all the ways that he's been good to us, our hearts will overflow with thanksgiving. And not to mention all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus. I always try to remember all the things that are listed in Ephesians 1, that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, that we're called, that we've been forgiven, that we've been redeemed, that he's given us his Holy Spirit, that we have eternal life to look forward to, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in the lives of those who believe, that same power. That we have so many spiritual blessings in Christ, that he's put us in his people, that he's let us be part of his church. We're not perfect, but we're his church. We belong to him, right? And he loves us, and he let us know him. He gave us his Spirit as a down payment on eternity, so that we can know the presence of God in our lives right now. That's such an awesome blessing. We have so much to give thanks to God for. So that's the reason to give thanks. Now let's talk about the attitude of thanksgiving. Let's look at David's attitude of thanksgiving. If you look at verse 3, David says, he put a new song in my mouth. Now every worship team member loves this because that means that we have an excuse to sing new songs and not just old songs. But it's also, just think of David's heart, that God has been good to him And so the way that he wants to express it is to be creative and to write beautiful music to God and to sing. Like when you see your granny in the kitchen stirring some soup and she's humming and singing, you know that her heart is full of joy, right? And when you sing, you're just expressing your gratitude and your joy to the Lord. And that's the attitude that David has, that God has put music in his heart. And he just wants to sing and give thanks, and he wants to give praise. Look at verse 4. He says, "How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord?" So when the Lord rescued him, it made David happy. He says, if I had trusted in somebody besides the Lord, if I had trusted in somebody who was proud or somebody who ran after lies, like as when you're in a jam, you have options. You can trust in the Lord or you can trust in something else or somebody else. If I had trusted in somebody else, they would not have come through for me in the same way. And I would not be as happy as I am now, as I am trusting in the Lord, because God keeps his promise. God delivers, and it makes me happy. And then David goes on, and he says, look at verse 6. "You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a burnt offering or a sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. In the scroll it is written about me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." What he's saying is, after you've rescued me, my attitude towards you is not towards God. It's not an attitude of drudgery, of misery, of like dutiful obedience where God has given me a list of things that I have to perform, and so I'm going to drudgingly, is that a word? Drudgingly perform it. I'm going to dutifully go through the motions and you know, show up to church at the right times, dutifully get my Bible out, dutifully try to be honest, you know, try to be kind to all those lousy people out there. You know, I'm going to try to do my best to do what God wants me to do because he's rescued me. That's not it at all. He's saying, God doesn't just want a sacrifice. He doesn't just want my religious actions towards him. He wants my heart. He wants me to be happy in him, and that's what I want to offer to God. I want to offer to God my joy and my trust and my willing obedience that I say, here I am, Lord. Your word, your scroll, the word of God is written about me. I want to obey it. Your law is within my heart. I want to obey you. I want to do what you've commanded. It's my joy to do what you've commanded. I delight to do your will. That's the attitude that David has. And so he presents himself ready. He presents himself to God and he says, I am ready to obey your written word because you've been so good to me. So if we can summarize it, it's like this. David was stuck in the mud. He was in a jam. He trusted in God. He didn't trust in somebody else to rescue him. He trusted in God, and God actually delivered. God actually rescued him. So it made David joyful, made him his heart full of singing, and he wants to praise God, and he wants to obey God's word. That's the process that David went through. It's really, it takes a lot of effort to raise a child, right? Can I get a witness there? It's really not easy. It takes a lot of time to raise a child. It takes a lot of money to raise a child. Children are not cheap. Can I get a witness there? What if your child grew up to be about 19 or 20, and then he came to you, and he says, Dad, I see that you have made a big investment in my life. You have spent a lot of money on me. I'm gonna pay you back. I have calculated about what you spent on me. I know the dollar amount. I am going to give you that money back. Here's a down payment. I worked all summer. I'm going to give you $3,000. And I know that you've spent more than me. I know the amount. I'm going to work for the next couple years and earn the money back and give you that money back. Now, don't expect me to show up for holidays. Don't expect me to hug you. Don't expect me to spend any time with you. Don't expect me to take your advice. But I will pay you back for what I've done for you. Now, how would you feel about that? You'd be like, oh my goodness, I don't want your money. You know, I don't want your money. I want your heart. You know, I want your love. I want your hug. What you would rather have from your child is for him to come up to you and say, you have given me so much. You held me when I was a child and I was puking. You know, you cleaned up all of my messes. You always had holes in your shoes so that I could have brand new Nikes. You know, like you have done so much for me. I've written a song for you on this electric guitar you've given me. I want to dedicate it to you. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. That's the kind of response that you want from your child, right? Like, I want that they want to bring you their love. They want to bring you their heart. And that's what God wants from us too. He doesn't want our dutiful, grudging performance. He wants our hearts. That when we see how much he's given us and how good that he's been to us, we just want to praise him. Our hearts are full of joy. And when he says, do this and don't do that, we're like, of course I want to do this and not that, because I can trust him, because he's been so faithful to me. He's proven to me his faithfulness and that he loves me, and that's what I want to do for my Lord. And I want to spend time with him, and I want to pour out my heart to him. I want to be creative in my praise to the Lord. I want to go deeper in my relationship with him. That's the kind of response that God wants for us. And when we don't feel like praising the Lord, you know, we can look at Jesus, who more than anyone else said to God when he came, I have come to do your will. You know, my heart wants to obey, not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said in the garden. Even when it's difficult, I will do your will, because I know that you love me, and I know that you will raise me up and give me the name above all names. We see that Jesus had a heart for God even when our hearts were not warm towards God. And when you see what Jesus did for you, when we see what Jesus did for us, doesn't that warm your heart a little bit? Doesn't that kindle something in your heart so that you want to obey him and you want to love him and you want to spend time with him? You want to give him back your love. You want to be filled with that joy. So that's the attitude of Thanksgiving. Now let's talk about the method of Thanksgiving. The last two, the method and the time for Thanksgiving, we won't spend quite as much time on. But the method for Thanksgiving, if you look in verse 3, how did David give thanks? Well, he sang this new song, a hymn of praise. Okay, so God delivered him, and so he wrote a song for God about it. And he sang, and he prayed to God, and he gave thanks to God. But then look at verse 7. I have come, in the scroll it's written about me, I delight to do your will. So he offers his obedience to God. And then, look at verse 9, he says, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. So what David did is he went to the temple where God's people were gathered, and he shouted out his praise so that everybody could hear. He told somebody. When God was good to him, he thanked God. He thanked him in his heart. He wrote a song for him. He probably, you know, played his electric guitar in his bedroom for God. But then he also went to church or he went to the temple, we would go to church, and he told them. And when God has been good to you, don't you want to tell somebody? You know, God wants you to praise him, to thank him, but for your praise, not just to be directed to God, but to overflow and spill onto other people so that they hear just how good God has been to you. He wants you to tell somebody. So it's good to give thanks to God that way, to tell him and then tell somebody else. And now let's talk about the time to give thanks. And maybe you noticed as I read the psalm at the beginning of the message, there was kind of a shift, right? Like David is saying, thank you, God, you've delivered me. You set my feet on a rock. You've been so good. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's all this thank you stuff. And then all of a sudden there's a shift. Verse 12, for troubles without number have surrounded me. Did you notice that? My iniquities have overtaken me. I'm unable to see. They're more than the hairs of my head. My courage leaves me. So when was David singing this song of thanksgiving? He was looking back on his life and giving thanks to God for the rescue in the past, but in the present, he's in another jam. He's in all kinds of trouble. He says, troubles without number have surrounded me. And he says his iniquities have overtaken him. So he's a sinful guy. He acknowledges that. He's facing some of the consequences of his own sins. And he has enemies that are coming after him. Look at verse 14. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish me harm be turned back and humiliated. There are people coming after him. There are people that want to kill him. You know, so he's in the troubles of his own sins. He's in the troubles of enemies trying to attack him. You know what they were probably doing? Probably making mean comments about him on Facebook. And he was just, well, or they could have actually been throwing spears at him. But he had troubles without number. And he had so many sins. And at that point, when his life was not together, when he was in all kinds of trouble, at that point, he says, I'm going to sing a song of thanksgiving to God. At that point, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? That the time for thanksgiving, I mean, there's a time for thanksgiving when God has set your feet on the rock and everything's going great. And you can look back in your life and thank him for that. But there's also a time for thanksgiving when your feet are still in the mud. The time for thanksgiving is right now. You know, the time for thanksgiving is all the time. We can give God thanks when things are going great, and we can give God thanks when things are going lousy. We still have things to thank God for. We can still thank God and praise him for all that he's done for us. And if you look back at verse 5, Lord, my God, you have done many things. Your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. So David is able to thank God for what God has done in the past. He's also able to thank God for his wonderful plans, that God is going to do good things for him in the future. There's so much that David could give thanks to God for, and there's so much that we can give thanks to God for. We can give thanks to him when things are great, and we can also give thanks to God when we're in trouble. Let's finish by looking at 1 Thessalonians. If you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read 5:16-18, 1 Thessalonians. When is the time to give thanks? I'll give you a preview. All the time. All the time is the time to give thanks. 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. Some of the translations say, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us to give thanks to him. Let's pray together. Our God, thank you that we have so much to be thankful for. And we do confess that a lot of times we give thanks in the good times and we don't give thanks all the time. So I pray that you would help us to give thanks to you all the time, because there really are reasons to give you thanks all the time. You are always good to us. Your faithfulness endures forever. And so we just want to praise you and thank you. We thank you especially for your son Jesus, and thank you that he is forever. Thank you for the eternal life that we look forward to with him. And we pray it in his name, in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.